Paul will mention dietary things. In verse 2, he mentions eating meat or not eating meat. That was an issue for them. And he's going to mention special days in verse 5, whether to worship on Saturday or worship on Sunday, you know. And then whether or not it's okay to drink wine in verse 21, that is mentioned. Those are just three of the things he mentions. And there are many other things which I will refer to that might concern us. But ultimately, his conclusion, I'm just going to tell you right now, here's the message today. The message is, don't judge others in doubtful matters. You will all stand before Christ. And so, we're going to all stand before Christ in what is called in verse 12, the Bema Seat. We'll reference it in verse 12. We're going to give an account to God. It's actually referred to as the Bema Seat in 1 Corinthians, where 2 Corinthians 5:10, I'm sorry. The Bema Seat, I'll explain that in a minute. It's not where we're judged for condemnation, but for rewards. If I'm going to stand before Jesus, and you're going to stand before Jesus, who am I to judge you? You're God's servant. And so instead, he's going to conclude that we need to have a spirit of unity among us. We need to accept one another. And he refers to the strong brother and the weak brother. The strong brother would know that we're under grace. I can eat whatever I want to eat. I would know that. Actually, in the Bible, all foods are declared by Jesus to be clean. Peter received a thing from heaven that came down and said, take, kill, and eat. And he ate whatever he wanted to eat. There were no more dietary things. If you don't want to eat meat, I remember our brother Anton, he didn't want to eat meat. So when Anton came over, I wasn't going to call serving meat. I was going to say, here, eat some meat. Instead, I would always make sure that we had something that was made out of vegetables so he could enjoy it. So he refers to whether one's conscience dictates something. We know that we're under grace. Actually, one of the scriptures I love is that Paul said in the New Testament, and you can just write this down, he said, all things are permissible. That's quite a statement. Anything you want to do? What? What? All things are permissible, he said, but not all things are beneficial. Not all things are constructive. Not anything will master me. And you'll find the references to that in 1 Corinthians 10:23. You write that down. And 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are permissible. So, actually, remember in Acts chapter 15, the Pharisees went down to the church in Antioch and said, you must obey the law of Moses. And so they had a meeting in Acts 15. You should remember this. And they had a church council, Peter and James and Paul and Barnabas, and they said that the conclusion that they reached was that we are saved by faith, not by the keeping of the law. And they said that God purifies our hearts by faith. We do not have to be circumcised. We do not have to obey the law of Moses. And they sent a letter, you remember that, in Acts 15? And they sent it out to the Gentiles. And they said, okay, don't drink blood, or, you know, blood from animals that, you know, that have been strangled. Don't drink the blood, don't spill the animal, don't drink blood. And he said, and don't fornicate, don't be sexually immoral. That's it. Stay away from idols, don't eat blood, and don't fornicate. In other words, we were set free by the Lord to serve him with freedom. And the brother who's strong in grace knows this. If you're strong in grace, you know what? I have the freedom to do that if I want to do it, because I'm not under the law. I do not have a legal relationship where God is giving me a list of you can do, you can't do. I have a loving relationship. However, some brothers would feel that I can't do that. And there are different areas of liberty, that's okay. When we were missionaries in the Philippines, we would stay in a guest house. Sometimes when we were traveling, we stayed at a guest house called New Tribes Missions. And New Tribes were language translators. And they went to tribes in faraway places in the Philippines that had never even had a copy of the Bible. and they learned the language, they translated the Bible for wonderful work they did. And by the way, they would never translate the New Testament until they had completed the book of Genesis, because they wanted the people to understand how about sin, so they knew why they needed a Savior. And I used to admire the people at New Tribes Missions. I enjoyed being with them. I had good, they were strong Christians. But you know what? Part of being a missionary at New Tribes is no dancing and no playing cards. Now, I'm not going to go to New Tribes Mission and get out my deck of cards. That would be not loving on my part. I'm okay with cards. If I want to play cards, play Gin Rummy with Janet, I can play Gin Rummy, something to do. But since they didn't believe in that, I would say, and dancing, I can dance with Janet if I want to. But they didn't want to do that. So you respected their limitations of liberty. They were not to judge me, and I was not to judge them. And for us, there are questions like, you know, what kind of movies is it okay to watch? Or television. There are some Christians that don't even want to have a television, and I really respect that. I really respect that, especially with small kids, you know? There are other people that have freedom to just channel surf the TV. And whichever category you're in, you don't judge one another. You know, oh, I can't believe it. He went to that movie. Oh, that movie's rated R. How could he have gone to that movie? Now you're judging your brother. And your brother, who are you to judge? James says, there's only one lawgiver. And that's God. Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. The measure you use will be measured to you. So if I see someone go, oh, no, they're doing something that's questionable, I'm like, wait a minute, do you do something like that? I might be judging myself. And so in matters of Christian liberty, we are not to judge one another. And there's so many other areas like that. In the olden days, the church didn't agree about whether it was appropriate for men and women to go to the beach together. Because that's really old. But because they felt like, oh, well, they're in bathing suits, you know. And if that was your conviction to not do that, then don't do it. Somebody else would say, no, it's fine. How about Halloween costumes? Should our kids wear costumes at Halloween? Personally, I wouldn't do it. I don't like the Halloween thing very much. But my daughter dresses up her kids. You saw a picture this morning in Sunday school. My daughter doesn't judge me, and I don't judge my daughter. My daughter's a believer. So in matters of liberty, I know some people don't even want to put up a Christmas tree. That's their conviction. So don't put up a tree. If you want to have a tree, don't judge the person who has a tree. So in matters of Christian liberty, we are not to judge one another. The truth is, brothers and sisters, we have great liberty. Galatians 5:1, which is a book, Galatians is a book about how we're not under the law. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the law, because the law can never make you righteous. And then in Galatians 5:13, it says, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but in love serve one another. I have Christian liberty today, but I'm obligated to be sensitive to you and to love you. You know, if your mommy tells you you can't eat candy and I offer you candy, then I'm not being, I'm abusing my liberty. Now, personally, I like Reese's very much. I think Reese's peanut butter is very good. Right? Okay. There you go. I appreciate it when I see a smile. I know someone's with me there. So matters of liberty, that's what's being discussed here. Not to judge one another, not to judge another man's servant. Jesus said, judge not. James says, there's one lawgiver and judge, so we don't judge each other. So verse 5, let's continue reading. Verse 5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so for the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So, you know, some people were really concerned about special days. You know, the Jewish Sabbath was on a Saturday. And there was this thing with the nation of Israel. It's the fourth of the Ten Commandments, is to keep holy the Sabbath. It was part of their relationship with God, the fourth commandment, to keep holy the Sabbath. And he said, this is a covenant I've made with Israel forever. However, when you come to the New Testament, Jesus Christ rose on a Sunday. And so the early Christians began to meet on the first day of the week, which was Sunday. And so the early church, and actually it's a matter of historical record in the writings of some of the church fathers, Ignatius and Polycarp and some of those, it is recorded that the church did meet on Sunday. Now, there are those today in the Seventh-day Adventist church that feel like, no, we're supposed to meet on Saturday, and we're not supposed to eat pork. I don't judge the Seventh-day Adventist. My dentist is a Seventh-day Adventist. I think that most of them are saved. But if they're trying to use the law to get saved, they could be in danger. But if it's their conviction to worship on Saturday, fine. And if it's their conviction not to eat meat, fine. I, with my conscience, think Sunday is really good. This is the first day of the week, Sunday. Have a good week, by the way. It's a Sunday. And you're worshiping on Sunday. And I bet you some of you are going to have some meat today. Or whatever. So we have differences of how we feel. We are not to judge each other. We are to do it as unto the Lord. Now, verse 9, for this reason, Christ died and returned to life, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the judgment seat of Christ, brothers and sisters. The word for judgment there is the word that we get bima. It is the bima seat. It references a word used in the Greek language that goes back to where in Athens they had a raised platform. Actually, the word bima just means step. You step up. You step onto the platform. And as you go to the bima seat, you step up on the platform. They would reward the athletes that had finished the race. It also was used of a platform in which the Roman tribunal would hold court. The judgment seat of Christ is a place where everything we have done, we're going to stand before Jesus. Think about it. This is for real. It's a serious thing. And the things we've done that are good, according to 1 Corinthians 3, is everything's going to be put through the fire. It's going to all go through the fire. And anything we did for Jesus, that time we were loving somebody, we brought them something to eat, we shared our faith with them, we prayed for them, and we did it with the right motive. We didn't do it for any other reason than we just loved Jesus. That's going to be rewarded. And the only judge is God, not you and me. I don't even judge myself, Paul said. 1 Corinthians said, I don't judge even myself. I wait for the Lord. He will judge. But it's all going to go through the fire, 1 Corinthians 3. And if it's something good, it's going to survive. It's going to get a reward. Yay! The things I've done that are bad, it also says good or bad, is going to go through, but God, that will be forgiven. And it says some people will just barely survive as if escaping the flames. I hope I come through with more than just, the flames. I've heard, smoke going back there. Whoa, got through. I hope we come through instead with, can you imagine? I'm not worthy of this, but to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And just to have a jewel and a crown to lay at the feet of Jesus. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Holy, holy, holy. 24 elders, they lay their crowns down. And they worship. And it is going to matter how you live now. You cannot earn salvation. That's through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. But the things we do will be rewarded. And so it matters. And each of us will stand before Jesus. Who am I to judge you? I'm looking at all your faces that are on the screen. And I'm not going to judge you or you or you. We're not going to. We are to accept each other. We are to accept each other. Not judge our brother. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 13, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed by what you eat, then you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy, I love that verse, in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So, I'm free to eat anything, but if I know that you don't want to eat, that I'm not going to serve it, I'm not going to eat it. I'll wait till I'm alone. Okay? And so, I love this verse, by the way, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. It's an old song. Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So, in the Holy Spirit, you know, we have joy, we have peace, we have righteousness. It's not, what did you have for lunch? That doesn't have anything to do. Jesus said, nothing that goes in your mouth defiles you, nothing. But it's what comes out that needs to be forgiven, sin. So, it's really interesting when Peter had that vision, take, kill, and eat. Remember that in Acts 10? And then he went to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile, and he shared Jesus. And all the Jews went, wow, God means even the Gentiles can be forgiven. And you can eat any food. You can eat any food, Peter. And later, though, in the book of Galatians, Peter separated himself and ate only Jewish food. And you read in Galatians chapter 2, Paul had to rebuke him. Paul rebuked Peter. He said, Peter, what are you doing? So it's easy to fall back under the law. You get around people that are pressuring you. Oh, don't do that. Don't be pressured back under the law. You guys are under grace. You're saved by faith. And don't use your freedom to sin. Don't use your freedom to hurt somebody else. But you're free. Good news for you. You've been set free. The Son has set you free. Hallelujah. So verse 19 kind of sums it up. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So if for you a glass of wine is okay, fine. Enjoy the glass of wine, but don't, if somebody else has a conscience, don't serve it in their presence, okay? And then he comes to the conclusion, verse 22. He says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. That's interesting. So you keep it between you and God. You don't need to be flaunting it for other people. He says, blessed is a man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. That's pretty deep, actually. In other words, the thing that I'm about to do, does my faith tell me that it's okay? If my faith tells me that it's okay, then I'm not sinning. But if I have doubt, if I go, you know, maybe I really shouldn't be doing this and my faith is not sure, then it's sin. So that's what determines the limits of liberty, is your faith. Now, if you think I'm done, I'm not. I'm going to do a little bit of the first half of chapter 15. And stay with me. I'll have you out of here by 11 o'clock probably, so no problem. But it continues right into chapter 15, and I want to read it. He's concluding now. Chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. But everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Paul sort of sneaks in something here in verse 4. He says the scriptures are encouraging. When you read the scriptures, you're encouraged. May I just say a word to you? You guys stay in the Word. I know you hear this from me every week, but continue to have your morning devotions. Here you go, coffee and a Bible. Say coffee, Bible, okay, notebook. You get your coffee, your Bible. Here's the Bible right here. And just, if you do that, when you wake up in the morning, God wants to meet with you. God wants to show His love to you. Every morning, start the day with the Lord. Start the day with the Lord. And stay in scriptures. That's what's going to get you through this time of the COVID-19. That's what's going to get you through this time. Right now, you know that there's upheaval in all of our cities. I don't know where it's going, but I know that if we stay in the Word, we will have peace. Because our God is with us. And we have the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. Yay, unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ. So that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it beautiful when there's a whole bunch of people and one person prays? We all agree. It's like with one voice, we all said the same thing. It doesn't matter whether it was Peter or Paul. They just pray. You know, and one speaker, but everybody had one heart. Our unity is precious. Psalm 133, you know it. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon, that's in the north of above Jordan of Israel. It settled on Mount Zion, which is in the south. Unity of the nation. And it says it's like the oil running off the beard of Aaron onto the collar. It's a beautiful thing, that holy oil. Unity. Now we have a spirit of unity, church. One thing I like about CIF is we are a family. We are unified. It's beautiful, church. God is pleased at our unity. Let us preserve it and not worry about dietary and special day kind of things. So verse 47, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, accept each other, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. By the way, Gentiles can just mean nations, Gentile nations. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, that sing praises to Him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. One who will arise will rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will open in. The word for nations is ethnos, every ethnicity. Jesus said in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, ethnos, every group of people, every tribe, language, the Chinese, the Asian, the African, the Canadian, you know, you name it. Everybody needs the gospel, everybody. And so God, the Jews were meant to carry faith to all the nations. And Paul is quoting these scriptures and they would see, God always intended that the church be made up of all the nations, Jew and Gentile, together. And then verse 13 is a closing benediction. I've been trying to memorize this. I love the benedictions in the Bible. It's where the priest gets up and says something. And Paul gives this benediction to us today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't understand that word hope because we think it's like today, like, well, I hope so, like maybe. Well, the Bible says hope, it means confident expectation. It says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's certain. It's an expectation that it's going to happen. Romans 15:13, God is the author of hope. And in 1 John 3:3, it says, everyone who has this hope purifies himself. Jesus is coming again, church. We have a bright hope. And here Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. He says that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, beautiful benediction. Just overflowing with hope. I've got joy, I've got peace, and I'm full of hope. My hope is Jesus. And so I have to experience and walk in joy. God, you have a great hope, church, and God wants us to walk in joy and in peace. And so, summary, in matters of Christian liberty, the weak brother must accept the strong, and the strong must accept the weak. If your conscience limits what you want to do, you don't want to tell it, is that good? Don't have one. If you have the freedom to have one, fine, but don't stumble each other. Don't judge each other. Whatever you just follow your conscience, whatever you can do by faith, is the thing that's okay to do. And if it doesn't come from faith, it's sin. So let me say this. We don't judge each other in these small things. Now, if someone is in adultery or doing something clearly that the Bible says not to do, then we should go to that brother and we should confront them to help reach them. But in minor things like eating habits or special days or whatever we've talked about, a glass of wine, do not judge each other. Accept each other, have unity, and love each other. Next week, I hope you'll be with us. We're going to talk about, for one thing, it's the very next verse, and I'll tease you with it, where it says, you are competent to counsel each other, competent to instruct each other. And some of Paul's plans. I think we'll be in Romans probably two more weeks in the book of Romans. Great book to have been in. Great for building us up in grace and becoming those living sacrifices to please the Lord. Jesus is on the throne, church. He's coming again. And we are not defeated by the coronavirus. We are not defeated by the riots in the streets. It's a tough time to be alive. It's a weird time to be alive. But our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are going to see God glorify His name. He's going to do something in this coming period of time. You're going to see the hand of Jesus. So keep your eyes on Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your word. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Father, we thank You for the Scriptures, which give us, Lord, encouragement. The ability to endure, to run this race, comes from the Scriptures. And we thank You for Your word. I pray, Father, that this church will remain healthy, unified. I pray that we would begin to invite new people to join us. I pray for some new faces, Lord, to join CIF. And I pray, Lord, that You will give everyone a good summer, what remains of the summer. Lord God, keep us all from the virus. Father, we pray for our president and our nation, Your will to be done in this coming election. We pray for, Lord, those in authority to be able to deal with the violence that's in the streets. Have mercy on our country. But Lord, no matter how things are shaken, we have peace in You. We are Your children. You are our good shepherd. And You give us each day our daily bread. And You forgive our trespasses. And so we thank You for being our God. And we pray for our homes, our families, and our church family, that we would love each other. And Lord, I pray that we would overflow with hope as we trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen.